Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for another chance to speak from the heart. Everything the Lord is revealing is important. All that He has to say will help us to go forward in life and see the things that He's talking about. I love the way that Revelation unfolds to us. He takes us where we are and He shows us things that are important. Helps us to go forward. And many times He starts with our concerns. He helps us to deal. He loves us. He teaches us things for our concern, our benefit, to help us to do better in life. Because His love is shed abroad upon us. Even the just like the rain, it rained. God sends rain on the just and the unjust. And the rain is in His power. He can wield it. The earth is God's, but the lease is man's. And man will the earth is leased to man. And everything that goes with the earth, man is in control. So, this kingdom, the world we live on, the earth we live on, originally man was in control of all of it by himself. And the Lord told him to be fruitful, multiply, subdue, and have dominion over it. But when Adam listened to Lucifer, to Satan, he listened to the snake, which was inspired by Satan. When that happened, the earth lease went to him, went to Satan. It was given to man, but Satan usurped man's authority. He took control through deception. And now he has a right to be here. So as long as man's lease exists, Satan exists here. And he can go wherever he wants to on the earth. So that's why Jesus came and gave and took the authority. All power was given to Jesus Christ because he took it legally as a man. And then he gave us total power. The same power he has, he gave it to us to govern the earth. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. And then he said, and I give unto you power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he taught his disciples about authority. And we have thriving authority over Satan. We have living authority over Satan. And he has to, whatever he's doing in your life, if you say something about it in Jesus' name, if you command him, he has to stop whatever it is he's doing. If you see him operating, people getting excited or frustrated, and their conversation is being escalated, and you see a fight forming, you can tell Satan to stop. And he'll stop. And once you remove Satan, the people will usually calm down. I've seen it happen many times. And it's like they don't know what happened. But they're still angry about whatever it was they were angry about. But it's like you turn the fire off the stove. And they usually just They start calming down when you remove Satan. Anytime, anywhere, people are getting frustrated because of satanic temptations or, he's behind the anger and the dissension. When you tell Satan to stop, he stops. And the authority that the Lord gave us, it works. And sometimes it can surprise you. That it works so well, it can surprise you. But if you continue, and you have to believe it. It's all by faith. If you won't, if when people don't have faith in the Word of God that concerns authority, then they can't operate in it properly. It won't be it won't be as real to them unless they take God at His word. So when we take the Lord at His word and receive it and say something, then Satan has to stop his works. And the Lord, you know, I just like anybody else, I had to learn these things. I knew we had authority over Satan, and we were taught in church to rebuke Satan, not let him get away with things. But I didn't know that if you saw a gunfight, you could tell Satan to stop, and he had to stop. You know, I listened to the tapes by Kenneth Hagin, like I said in another broadcast. And as I received those, the word on it, when the gunfight broke off, that was my automatic reflection. I mean, my automatic response. And it was like a reflex. I said, Satan, I said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Or stop, you know, you can't kill him. I told him what he couldn't do. You can't kill anybody, hurt anybody in Jesus' name. Because I knew the people had guns. And when they start shooting, now you know they got guns. I immediately say, Satan, you can't hurt anybody. You can't kill anybody in Jesus' name. And it works. Now, since we dealt with it, we talked about authority. The Lord reveals things to us. And we have the authority to say something. We activate the word of God through speech. We speak His word by our faith. And it works. Now, in life, we have our own personal concerns. And we can get to know the Lord if we include Him and ask Him questions. And He'll get involved and help us to see things the way they truly are. And He'll bless us to know what to do and how to do it. He will help us to go forward. He'll help us in healing our personal concerns. He'll help us to do that. And then we start trusting God, and we progress in the greater and greater things. Now, the last broadcast, we ended about how you can take authority over problems that nag you, and never let anything of the world last in your life. Never let anything continue on. If it's wrong, if the word says wrong, go by the word. Don't go by how you feel. Sometimes people go by how they put how they feel ahead of what of the word of God. And they, you know, if they feel a certain way, that can look bigger to them than God does. And if they don't get God's word and go by it, it'll always look bigger than God. In other words, their problem will be bigger than God in their eyes. And to them, God can't help them. Even when they hear the word, they know that socially it sounds right to say God is in control. God can do all things. But in reality, in their lives, they don't see it that way. They feel like I'm stuck like this, or God made me this way, or I can't stop being this way. And the truth is, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Sometimes you just have to learn what the words say. And when the word gets in your heart, you can go forward. Just like the girl I mentioned in the last broadcast. She felt she was tempted to be a lesbian, but she was a Christian. But she was still tempted to be a lesbian. And she got married. She married her best friend. And her husband loved her. And like I said, she said that she was more attracted to his mother than him. And she got so frustrated Because it's hard to live with inside of a temptation. It's hard to live with a temptation going on in your mind and in your heart. And anytime you people are tempted, they feel isolated. People don't like to point out their weaknesses. They feel trapped. And then you got other people that they don't have that temptation. They don't know what it's like to be trapped by something. Entangled. They give you their advice and they want it to encourage you and get you out of it, but nothing seems to work when you see things a certain way. And in her case, it was a demon spirit. It was a spirit of homosexuality or lesbianism. It had invaded her life and it got into the way she thought. And she asked, she said, "Lord, either take me home or take this from me or kill me." Now, if you can say kill me, you mean business. She wanted that thing out of her life. She wanted to live according to the word of God. But remember, I'm going to use something else. Now, I never smoked cigarettes. I got two sisters that smoked. They stopped, but years ago they smoked. And I had an aunt that, the reason I hated smoking was because when I was around 7 or 8 years old, one of my aunts, she was married to my uncle. She was a chain smoker and she died. And I asked my mother, why did she die? She said, well, she smoked. She died of lung cancer from smoking. And I got real, because a lot of people that I love smoke. And your body can handle different things. Some people can tolerate it and some people can't. Some people will die from it. Some people will smoke 100 years and never seem to bother them. And they say secondhand smoke is the worst. But I had a hatred against smoking because she died. And I didn't want my daddy to die. And I didn't want my sisters to die. And my daddy smoked pipes. I didn't want him to do that, but he did. That was his choice. So I said, I'll never smoke. That's one thing I won't have to ever pay for. And then it gets in your clothes. It stinks. It makes your house smell. I like clean scents. I don't like smoke. So I was motivated not to ever smoke. And I still am. I'll never do it. And I can't be tempted with cigarettes. All right. Now, I got friends and loved ones. They can't quit smoking on their own. They'll never stop smoking unless they believe God and get out of it. And I understand that they're trapped. Now, smoking is not such a taboo as fornication, adultery, homosexuality, or being a lesbian, or being a witch. If you smoke, people don't really care one way or the other. But people will say, I want to quit smoking. And now they got medicines like Chantix or whatever that you see it on TV to help you quit smoking. Now, let's talk about God. God loves us, right? He loves everybody. He thought enough of every individual to die for every individual. As a preacher and as a Christian, it's my job to let people know that their sin debt is fully paid for. And the kingdom of God is here. Through Jesus Christ, you enter the kingdom of God. That's my job, to let people know this. But when it comes to their sin, they feel trapped. Just like the people who smoke, they feel trapped. Their body craves it, and they can't sleep, they can't eat, they can't do anything without craving a cigarette. It's no different than a man on crack. The only problem with crack is you can't do anything without that. That stuff is terrible. And when you see what happens to people who gets on drugs and crack and meth, you know, they miserable. And most people are afraid to try it, but some people will try it. If they get depressed or frustrated, they'll try those things. But smoking is not, that's something you can get addicted to, and it's not seen as much harm. You know, it's not, people think no different if you smoke, if you don't. You're just another normal person. You just smoke. And I know there's Christian circles, they say it's a sin. Whether it's a sin or not, it's more like something to just hinder you. God loves people. And now he said, don't, if you defile the temple, you know, you can be in trouble for that. But that's mostly like if you harm one of his people. And if you harm yourself, you know, that's not good for you. It's not in your best interest to smoke. But I wouldn't do it. I hate it. So I can't be tempted with smoking. All right. But I understand it can be an addiction. Just like smoking is addictive to your body, sin can be just as addictive as smoking. And sometimes even anytime you involve demons, it can get out of hand. And as long as you see the sin that you're doing greater than God who loves you, that's where you're going to live. And I understand that. So does God. My advice to you is get saved. If you're not saved, get saved. If you are saved, then learn what the words say so you can kill the addictions and the entrapment of sin. You can kill it. You can even grow to the point that you hate that sin. And that's precisely what I did. The enemy was, I knew that Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after you, already you committed adultery in your heart. And I knew that. I understood that. I can read. So I worked against it. I refrained from looking at women in a lustful way. When I was in my 20s and I had just gotten saved and I would work in the grocery store, women would walk in with swimsuits on. And my eyes were very healthy, to the point that I could blur things out. And people don't know that, but I could do it. I could focus my eyes like however I wanted to. I could make things look blurry and I could allow it to be clear again. And in order to stay right with God, I would literally make everything look blurry until they walked by. And eventually, I grew in the Lord and it didn't bother me like it did. And I didn't bother them. I didn't look at them. I wouldn't turn my head and watch them walk away. I just stopped doing that. When I was a sinner, I did all those things. But after I got saved, I refrained from that. Just being honest. So, but when I got called to the ministry, it's like the enemies set out a campaign to get me involved with temptation again. And it was not normal. Everywhere I went, he would have some woman to give me that old crazy look, or they'd flirt or walk by, keep passing by. You know, it wasn't normal. It was satanic. It was crazy. And I had to learn. I had to learn how to fight it. And I was always, I went to God and told him what was happening. And I started understanding a lot of men go through the same thing. Some of them would talk about it. Some of them would fall. They'd start shacking up with a woman or something. And some of them stood. Some of them just tried to hide in church all the time. They'd go to church all the time. And none of that stuff works. The only thing that worked, I said, I'm going to kill this problem. I said, I don't know how to do it right now, but I'm going to kill it. Just like a person trying to quit smoking. Now, in my heart, I didn't want it. But in my mind, I didn't want it on my mind. And all I knew, that was a time, all I knew what to, the only way I knew how to conquer it is to go and is praise God till I could sense his presence. And in his presence, I was fine. And it wasn't a temptation. And then I'd pray for strength, and I'd be strengthened for a while. Then I start feeling tempted again. Just like a person, and you know, they're trying to quit smoking. They'll work on it, and then they live longer periods of time without craving a cigarette, and then eventually it starts, the craving just comes back on them, and they fight, and it gets, they live a longer duration of time before they crave a cigarette. And if something aggravates them, they'll crave a cigarette, because that's a moment of weakness. Things have got them off balance, and they crave that cigarette. And then if they resist it, the duration gets longer and longer, and it gets easier for them to not be tempted. So it was with me. I didn't go bothering the women, but when they would come, I dealt with it. I would speak the word of God, rebuke temptation with Jesus, in Jesus' name. I would pray for myself, pray for her. I would tell Satan, you can't tempt me with her, and you can't tempt her with me, in Jesus' name. And every time I did it, it got easier. But it didn't kill the problem. Because in the back of my mind, if I smelt whatever cologne or perfume she was wearing, I would be reminded of her. If it, you know, whoever it was. And sometimes the enemy will give you a thought about a person. And I would fight. I said, Lord, I don't know how to kill this. I said, you got to teach me how. I want you to show me how to hate it. I want you to show me how to hate this problem. Not just not like it. Like, I don't like it now, but I want to know how to hate it. And I want to be totally free from it. And I don't ever want it to be a problem as long as I breathe on this earth. And I kept praying that way until the Lord showed me things. And in other broadcasts, I showed what the Lord did. If a person has any lingering problem, the way to kill it, look at the Lord. Search out the word. That's how we get to know the Lord. We see how he problem solves. Get to know him. Praise him. Worship him. Be obedient to the word of God. Live the word of God. In it, and do it in joy. Not just to kill your problem. But a lot of times we get to know the Lord by including him in helping us to kill our problems. Whether it's financial, whether it's lust, envy, strife, whatever it is. Anger. Some people, they feel like they watch their parents argue a lot. And they feel like they have to fuss to get their point across. It became a habit. It's in their habit system. If somebody cross them, they immediately pop off, and they can't control it. So, in order to do what the Word of God is saying, do, if you be faithful with the Sermon on the Mount, that word can get in your heart and give you the stability to do it, and the will to want to, and the hope you need. And then you'll have the vision to get the job done. Now, if a person's tempted, just like the girl, she was tempted to be a lesbian, and the demons kept aggravating her and giving her false feelings about women, it's a lie. The words of Satan is a lie. The words of God are true. You can kill the lie with the truth. Kill the lie with the truth. Receive God's word in your heart. Look to Jesus. Ask him all your questions. See, the Holy Spirit can show you what to read, and then he can make the word quicken in you. He can make it alive in you, and you'll have the power you need to refute the problem. A man that's tempted with other men, you don't have to live that way. But the temptation is no different than when a person's trying to quit smoking. You just got to get your mind renewed in the Word of God. You got your spirit, man. First, you got to get saved. And then you got to renew your mind. And your body, the cravings of your body can change. You can speak how you want to be. If you're married, you have children, and you have homosexual thoughts, and you have to preach this, because a lot of people, good people, have problems, and they want out of sin. They just don't know how to do it. And most preachers don't tell you these things. I believe in making things simple so that you can do it. It's easy. It's easier to live according to the word of God than to be tormented with the fears of this world. The way you see the problem is going to change. Love is the way we conquer everything. If we can live according to the love of God, we're not going to fulfill the works of the flesh. But the way to finish off the works of the flesh and the poison thoughts of the mind, the way to kill it, don't fear it anymore. You're letting that problem, that temptation, or that demonic temptation, you're fearing. If you fear it, it will dominate you and torment you. Just don't fear it anymore. Don't fear anything of Satan. Don't fear gang activity anymore. Don't fear men. Don't fear situation. Don't even fear death. Jesus conquered the grave, so you did too. Always remember, Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. He got up. His bones are not in no grave. His bones are in heaven. He is in heaven. He has a body. You can touch him. He can touch you. He appeared to me once. He appeared to Kenneth Hagin 3 times. He can appear to his people. But listen, he got up. The word of God, receiving God's word inside of your heart, renewing your inside your spirit, man, it will help you to see God for who he is. And he will look greater in your eyes than the problems you have. A person with cancer, if they're on a deathbed and they're in pain, their cancer looks gigantic. And God don't. But when they study the word of God, God looks greater, but they still got the pain, and the pain still looks, and the cancer still looks huge. And it can be almost impossible for them to believe their way out of that problem. But it's not impossible. Praise and worship will help you see God for who he is, so that he can legally heal you. He can't heal you with doubt in your heart. You got to fight. Sometimes you have to doubt things. You just got to fight till you win in order to live in the victory you desire. I'm telling you now, it's possible. It's doable. You can do this. And if you don't have any lingering problems like that, this broadcast will help you see what other good people go through. And that God is looking at their heart. They just have not mastered these things. And some people don't even get saved because they don't feel like they can follow through with God's expectations. Even if you don't think you can follow through with God's expectations, get saved anyway. Believe on Jesus anyway. You don't have anything to lose. You have everything to gain. Ask the Lord to give you power and strength. Be honest with him. Say, Lord, I don't know I can do it. I don't even know if I want to do these things. If you don't want to change, if you don't want to change because you think you can't, that's not the same as defiance. Defiance says, I like the way I am, and they're getting proud about it. They're not going to change. They don't want change. They wouldn't change if they could change. That's defiance. That's rebellion. That's the kind of thing God gonna judge. But if a person got trapped in sin and they want out, that means a lot to God already. That's the kind of person God can probably help. And I say probably because you're going to have to use the word to get out of the problem. You got to leave sin alone. But don't think that you're... See, if a person never got saved, then they don't know what it's like to have a brand new heart, a brand new spirit, man. But if you get saved, you have a brand new spirit. Now, all you got to deal with is the mind and the body, and they will follow the word of God. If you can follow God in your heart, you can destroy the captivity of all forms of sin. And I'm here to tell you, it's true. Don't miss out. If you've been saved a very long time and these tendencies and these thoughts have been ragging your life since 1960 or 1970 or 1950 even, and all your life has been this way, now stop looking at the Word of God the way you used to. Read the Word of God from cover to cover if you have to. Read the chapters. Not just scriptures. Read the chapters and all the thoughts that people and opinions that people have preached. It's gotten in your heart a certain way. The only way to undo the false teaching, the false preaching, is to receive more truth teaching. If the Lord puts scriptures on your heart, read those scriptures. Read the chapters, even the book. See, just like 1 Peter, that's really one chapter. The whole book is one chapter. If you read it from the start to finish, it makes more sense than if you just read chapter 2 or chapter 3. Some women read chapter 3 and they stop. They don't want to read anymore because they feel like that's just something to give men power.